Welcome to KABU, Andra Carrick.
Thank you so much.
Well, first, let's talk about the work of NARAL, and then we can look at some of the peaks and valleys of 2019 and the political landscape for 2020. NARAL stands for National Abortion Rights Action League, and abortion rights remain central to the political mission of the organization, but the politics of abortion have extended over time and shifted over time. First, tell us about NARAL, a bit about its history and that very political mission.
Sure. Well, we've been here in Oregon for 42 years, and so we are a powerhouse in the reproductive freedom movement. That includes a wide range of options, and we exist to help support all of those options for individuals, however they want to live their lives and make their choices.
Now, NARAL is a national organization with state affiliates. Can you say a bit about that?
Well, there are a lot of organizations like ours with, like you said, a national presence as well as state affiliates. And it's our job in the state of Oregon to really represent the needs and wishes of Oregonians and give perspective on ballot measures, candidates, and the implementation of those policies here in Oregon.
I think many pro-choice advocates or allies in the fight for access to abortion don't recognize the range of politics that we bring to abortion. And in, you know, in the 1990s, Black feminists brought the concept of reproductive justice to the movement that even extended beyond reproductive rights, as it included issues around sexuality, issues around LGBTQ rights, as well as access to abortion. And now reproductive justice is part of what you emphasize, not only on your website and in a, you know, placards and slogans, but in the kinds of ballot measures you support. Could you say a little bit about what that framework of reproductive justice means for NARAL?
Sure. You know, it's a really big umbrella. Our lives and the access to the full range of reproductive health care options are impacted by the conditions that we live our lives within. So when deciding whether or when to have children or what our families look like and how we're supported in those lives, our whole lives impact that. And we live in America. There are race issues, poverty issues. When people are marginalized for whatever is impacting their lives, that affects their, negatively, it can affect their access to the wide range. And we really want to support people where they are to be able to truly have that access.
And there are a number of campaigns, including a campaign to put on the ballot this fall, support for pre-K child care.
And so yes, Preschool for All is a campaign that we will be lending some effort to as well. As I was saying, like what our families look like and how we're able to support those families is part of our community base.
Now, I met you at the Women's Health Center at Oregon Health Sciences University a few years back when,
yes,
I was filming Our Bodies, Our Doctors, a documentary on abortion providers told from the perspective of providers that will be screening at Cinema 21 Theater on Thursday, January 23rd, in honor of recognizing Roe v. Wade, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And you became an early sponsor of that film. And I think one of the issues was how the film tells the story of the problem of Catholic hospital mergers, Catholic healthcare systems that restrict much of what women have access to, and for people who have to be hospitalized for a pregnancy. This can put women's or put people's lives at risk. Can you say something about that issue? And I know it's part of what interested NARAL in the film, is taking up that lesser known story of the role of the Catholic Bishops' Conference, what they call the ethical and religious directives that restrict what Catholic healthcare systems and hospitals can and provide in terms of care.
Well, I first want to say thank you so much for your work on the film. I think it's a really important story to be telling about healthcare providers providing this necessary service and option for people in their lives. So I think it's really exciting that there is a film telling this story, and I look forward to being at the showing of that film. So thank you.
Yeah, you'll be joining us for the Q&A. So yes. We'll hear more from you then. So what is happening with, because we have this very progressive state and people are rightfully proud of Oregon's leadership in the country, but we also, a third of the hospital beds in this state are affiliated with the Catholic Church and under some restrictions in the care they can provide.
Yeah, that's scary, frankly. There are barriers to care when a person goes to Sisters of Providence, for instance, where there are restrictions on what you can choose and how you can access that, whether that's just a no or a number of administrative hoops to jump through, all of which cause time and resources and, in some cases, a lot of emotional weight, I guess.
Yeah, and distress. And I think one of the most outrageous examples is miscarriages or threatened miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies that are not viable and put women's lives at risk. And if you have a Providence health plan and get taken to one of their hospitals, now someone may decide to go ahead and in that non-viable pregnancy, but there will have to be some discussion about it, and those patients get taken to OHSU because they won't do it.
And when you say may, I mean, if it's a non-viable pregnancy or something that is actually threatening the pregnant person's health, we should take care of that.
Yeah, and that should not have to be an issue.
That should not have to be an issue.
And I think there is less awareness of the role of the bishops even in our healthcare system
and our decision in an individual's decision making.
Well, let's also talk about some of the highlights from last year. I think many people are understandably horrified and disturbed about all of these laws that have piled up restricting access to abortion. Primarily does affect poor women, rural women, and I think that's where social class and race intersect with this issue in terms of access. What about the Reproductive Health Equity Act that did pass with a tremendous amount of political push for it? These things don't happen automatically, as does the political push figure into whether things are implemented once ballot measures or laws are passed.
So Oregon is in a really powerful place as a leader in the country, as evidenced through like the passing of the Reproductive Health Equity Act. It's the first legislation in the United States to comprehensively address systemic barriers to accessing reproductive health care. It expands coverage to thousands of Oregonians, regardless of income, citizenship status, or gender identity, all throughout the state. And we should feel really proud to be part of that leading edge of expanding access to everyone within Oregon. It makes me feel really proud to be here, even when we see other places in the country where access is being further restricted. This movement needs a leader, and I'm really proud to be here in Oregon where we can be that trailblazer for the rest of the country.
Because even though Oregon was known to be one of the least restrictive states in terms of being relatively, I mean, no laws that restrict abortion, there also were not laws protecting it as there has been in Washington State. So there was a worry that if Roe v. Wade was overturned, which is at risk this year, there would be then access really falls on these state laws.
Yes. And even though we have this beautiful comprehensive law, we still get challenges. You know, in 2018, there was a ballot measure 106, many of you may remember, about proposing an amendment to the state constitution that would have barred the use of public funds to pay for abortions in Oregon. And we significantly trounced that measure in the election in 2018. And we just have to stay vigilant to look out for that kind of opposition while we move forward progressively to make protections.
And I think part of the move to create this film, Our Bodies, Our Doctors, on the work of abortion care from the perspective of people who do the work, providers who every day walk the gauntlet and sometimes protesters, but also there are fewer threats on their lives in that period of the 90s, although there's still more commonly tremendous harassment and stigma in the profession and the marginalizing of abortion as a healthcare issue. So this vision of putting abortion care in the context of healthcare more broadly was an important part of the political vision of the film itself. And NARAL also has moved toward framing abortion within this broader healthcare for all politics. Is there a risk, though, of losing abortion? It's the most politically charged, I think, of all procedures that are common procedures, particularly in the healthcare system. And there's this challenge of keeping a focus on abortion and not marginalizing it, but also framing it within this larger context of healthcare and the health of communities in our lives. How do you see that balancing act?
Well, like you said, it's healthcare, and we need to attend to all of the needs of all of our community so that we're attending to the reproductive healthcare needs of anybody of everybody, regardless of how they are living their lives. We all have choices.
And those choices require support in order to be realized.
Thank you. Yeah. Exactly.
So I want to just close by just saying a little more about the upcoming screening once
Great.
Again, Our Bodies, Our Doctors, which won Best Documentary Feature Film at the Portland International Film Festival last summer and Best of SIFF at the Seattle International Film Festival. Screening Thursday, January 23rd at Cinema 21. You can get tickets online.
And that's the anniversary of
Roe v. Wade. And it's screening with a fabulous short film directed by Brian Lindstrom and Cheryl Strayed called We Are Forbidden, about menstrual taboo in Nepal. So it'll be, a fabulous celebratory evening. And I'm so happy you'll be joining us that night as well.
I look forward to it. It's important to celebrate.
Yeah. Thank you. This is Jan Hocken talking this morning with Andra Carrick.